Father, we thank you again for the night. We open this precious book, Lord, and we ask that you give us wisdom, ask that you give us power, and we pray tonight we learn something about you that maybe the world don't want to learn, dear Father, or if they did, they just don't want to know. And we pray it help us in our Christian life to know how to love this world, even though there's some things in this world you call abomination. We know that you love individuals. You showed your love at Calvary. You proved your love to a lost world. And dear Father, we pray tonight that you'd help us understand some things about how you deal with individual situations in life. And help us understand a little bit better that we may know how to love people better than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn with me. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We've hit this a number of times just in different sequence of studying as reference. But tonight I want to look at this entirely for just a few moments. And we're going to start reading verse 24 down to verse 32. Paraphrase a couple of these, but read most of these verses. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Rome, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Now, we read through these pretty rapidly. We come back, do some emphasis on them. He said, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use that unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burn in their lust one towards another, and men with men, and working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient." And then in verse 29 through 31, he gave about 25 different things he mentioned. For sake of time, we won't mention that because of the topic. But in verse 32, he said, "Who knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it." I want to speak to you tonight for just a few minutes on the turn. God gave them up and God gave them over to something. Now, it amazes me how people in our particular day can look at humanity as a whole and see what's going on in our day. And because they say we don't understand scriptures a little bit different than it was in Leviticus when God cried out against this. But ladies and gentlemen, this was in the time of Rome. This was in the time after Jesus Christ had come and died. So this is not just Old Testament. Amen. This is not something God gave in the Old Testament and decided to change his mind, because he never did change. This is important for the child of God to know. We need to know, and yet we must not let what we know cause us not to love sinners. Because people who are caught in these things need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to understand some things so much. As people say, when you preach messages like this, it's condemnation. No, it's not. It's showing us that we need to know where we stand so we are not brought under the condemnation that God called about such acts as we're seeing here in Romans chapter 1. You understand what I'm talking about? So here, in these few verses, I want us to look at God gave them over. I think about there was a Jew proprietor of a store. A fellow went to him and said, "Would you give me some credit?" And this Jew looked at him and he said, "Well, I've known you a number of years." He said, "But I cannot give you credit." He said, "Why not?" He said, "Sir," he said, "I know you." He said, "You want credit. I know give you credit. You get sore and you get angry. You get sore and you get angry, but you want credit." And he said, "I give you credit and you no pay. I get sore and angry, and it's better for me you to get sore and angry than me." Amen. Well, that's a good place in business. Well, people get sore and angry against us sometimes because we believe truth, but it's better for us to believe truth with love than let someone think that something, that a lifestyle somehow or another, is that which in turn is good when God says it's not. And we have to be true in these last days if we're going to be true to what God wants us to do. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God put a free will within man's thinking, within mankind, so that he could believe God and go with God. At the same time, he could disbelieve God and go from God if he wanted to. God would allow that in our time. Do you know that? That's right. Did you know God would let a person just stand right up and curse him if he wanted to? But he'll pay the consequence for it one day unless the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses him from his sin. So here in this time, sadly today, man has rebelled against God using his free will and chose to follow his own way instead of going God's way. And feels for some reason or another, because he is who he is intellectually, that surely if he has enough sense to believe what would be truth, and even though they go against the God of truth, they still think it's true, and therefore if there is a God, he'll overlook it because they were sincere. So when man's rebellion against God grows strong, he determines to go his own way. And here's the thing, man's freedom does not remove his responsibility. Sometimes people think they have freedom to do certain things, but God teaches us there's a responsibility to us. We're going to have to pay the consequences. If God said something is wrong, it's wrong, and it never has to change. Why? Because he's God. He's not like man. He doesn't have to change his mind. Now, when man antagonistically abandons God, listen. When man antagonistically abandons God, you can be sure that God eventually will abandon man to his fallen nature and the resulting of consequences of that fallen nature. So the question is, why did God give these people up? We go back in the book of Romans. There's bound to be some reasons. When you look over in Leviticus, you see God says not to do such a thing, it's abomination. But when you look in what Paul says, and God, the Holy Spirit gives him, when he brings this up, same thing, except a little different words in the age of grace, he's saying that at this time, there came a time that God just gave them up. God just gave them over to something. Now, that simply means this, that God didn't just say that it wasn't important no more. It's important enough that he's willing that if a person wants to disobey God, to follow that which God says abomination, they'll just suffer the consequences of that without knowing what the love, without knowing what the grace of God is. The one thing is sure, they cannot die and not know the love of God. Calvary shows the love of God. I don't care what a man says or what an individual said. Calvary shows the love of God to the whole human race. On the other hand, there'll be people that he'll die without Christ, even though God shows that love to them. So let's look at these three points quickly about why did God give them up. In Romans chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, look, he said, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between them. So isn't it amazing? He said, if that's what you want, I'll give you up for the lust of your own self that you could dishonor your own bodies. Because you dishonor the bodies. You know, do that which God said not to do is to dishonor the bodies. Whereas the wherefore in this particular verse refers back to the preceding verses, verse 18 through 23. I don't have time to go to those tonight. But since man chose to ignore and suppress the knowledge of God, and that's what is happening here, they suppress what God says is wrong, suppress it by declaring that it's right. And since man chose to ignore and suppress the knowledge of God, they made up their own false gods. They made up what they wanted the scriptures to say, if they even had scriptures, what they wanted to hear from the God they made up, and therefore they followed that rather than God. And because of this, God gave them over to their desires to be controlled by the things they prefer to serve rather than serve the God who wants them to serve him. Instead of serving him, they rather prefer to not serve him and do these particular things that God said not to do. Now, when mankind deserts God, God stopped hindering them and lets them have their own self-determination, which leads to self-destruction, and they'll go into self-destruction believing that they believe what they're doing is okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to have enough sense to know when God said something is wrong, it's wrong. I don't care who tells us it's right. So here, this is the price that man pays for demanding for more freedom. Because man abandoned God, God abandons man to the consequences of rejecting God. Sin carries its own punishment. And man left to himself is like an untended garden where weeds choke out the life, providing nothing with any value of that person. So man has no capacity in himself to restrain the weeds of his sinfulness. He has no compassion in himself to cultivate the good products of righteousness. Man has no capacity to bring anything righteous to God that's pleasing, because he teaches us all of our righteousness are like putrefying sins sin in his nostril. He makes him sick when we come to him in our own righteousness, and that will not get us to heaven. Of course, we know that. So man's natural development is not upward, but it's downward because he is depraved. It's downward, that is, he doesn't evolve, he devolves until he meets the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Christ can lift us up where we need to be lifted, to be accurate before God. So man is not ascending to God, but descending from God, getting worse and worse. Now, how do I know that? Because the Bible says that in 2 Timothy 3:15, man grows worse and worse. And the only way that can stop is in Jesus Christ. If there's anything getting better, it's because you know Christ is Savior. You have potential to make it better. And God gives us a lot about our instruction, what we should do. So when man stubbornly continues his rebellion against the knowledge of God, God gives them over to their lust. And that's what he's saying here. To dishonor their own bodies within themselves. Notice, not only does they do that, but they change the truth of God into a lie. They would have to change it to a lie because they can't practice something continually if they feel like it's wrong. So the change it into a lie makes them feel like that it's right. And they get enough people, and they seem like when you get more people to do things, then it makes it all right, no matter what you may say God has to say about it. So here you find God gives them over to their lust. Their craving for the forbidden pleasure are of the heart. They don't understand that. Their craving of that which is forbidden pleasure is of the mind, it's of the will, it's the emotions of fallen man. And what is allowed is freedom in the heart will eventually, what you allow freedom in the heart will eventually, ladies and gentlemen, control the mind and the body in a way that degrades them. But when a person's in sin, they don't understand it. When a person's alcoholic, they don't understand it because they program themselves to believe that everything's okay until they come to the wit's end. And so this means that the exchange, the right conception about God for false views about God, or exchange the true God for false gods. Humanity exchanges the authentic for the counterfeit, and as a consequence, God gives them over to what they perversely desire, as seen in verse 25. They change the truth of the God into a lie, and worship serve the creature more than the creator. If they would serve the creator, then they will listen to what he has to say. But since they serve the creature, which is themselves, their selfish desires, then they don't listen to what God has to say. But either way, God's truth will bring, will be in exchange for lies. Now, as I read these verses, when truth and lies are placed side by side, they choose to serve the creature or man's reason rather than God. And it's here where man is adored. Here, God is replaced, and man is adored, and man is worshiped, and man is reverent rather than the true and living God. At first, any lie that's told is simply more important than the truth. But it ends up, as people hear lies, becoming the truth to other people who didn't look at it that way. A person looking for truth has never seen the lie, and if someone brings a lie as truth and they accept that, then all of a sudden they caught in the trap of believing a lie that's truth because they don't know what the truth is. And that's how Satan captures us, human beings, many times in this life, in doing these things that may be done. Again, God gave them over to dishonor their own bodies. Now look in verse 26 and 27. The second thing he says, he gave them over to a degrading their passion. He says, for this cause, God gave them up. Because they did, verse 24 and 25, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women, not only the men, but the women did these vile things. Man denying the truth about God, God gave them over to degrading vile passions. And there he changed the natural function. Now hear this, the natural function. We're going to look at that word natural because what is natural, you see many people change because it changed the natural function. That is which is operated right. They changed the natural function of men and women for that which is against nature. Note it went from evil to unnatural of evil. Note it went from promiscuity to Lebanism. Passion is used in a bad sense. That's vile and repulsive and degraded in God's sight. They exchange the natural function, the way nature is among male and female. This is the natural desire, mainly in the natural sexual desire. Nowhere in the animal kingdom do you find species with the same gender mating. Isn't it an amazing thing? That an animal will not do what man's doing. And brother, Tyler, Brother Tyler, bless your heart. Brother Tyler raised animals. He knows what we're. I was going to say Langland, and I got to thinking, well, put his name first, so I shouldn't think before I speak. Amen. But Brother Tyler raised animals. He knows what we're talking about. They don't do that. Isn't it amazing that an animal's got more sense than human beings? Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me show you something. What is a natural end? We look at it, do we know what this is talking about between a man and a woman? But when you talk about something that's natural, let's look at a couple of things to get an idea of what's going on. What is a natural end? Let's put this, let me ask you a question. Just take something simple. Take the ear. What is the natural function of the ear? To hear. God gave the ear for a natural function to hear. Amen? Now, let me ask you a question. Now, this is not putting anything down. I'm trying to show an example. Let me ask you, then, what is it? Is there anything wrong with a person who pierces their ears or put earbobs on the ears? That's not a natural function. You find anywhere in the Bible that's a natural function? You just told me ear. Now I'm not to listen. You look good. You got earbobs. If you don't have them, get them, put them on. They look good on you. But what I'm talking is I'm trying to show you something. You know the reason why that we have no trouble with putting this on ears, even though that's not the natural function of an ear? Because God does not condemn it. Let's put other things. How about feet? What are feet for? To walk. What is the natural use of feet? To walk. Now, for us to walk, I come from the farm. I know what it's to have not have shoes. But there's nothing wrong in having shoes. There's nothing wrong in having shoes. Some places don't have the privilege to have shoes. But let's take it a little bit further. I'm talking about the natural use. You could say that even the natural use is to walk better. Shoes fit better because you don't hurt your feet as bad. But let's take something that don't look as natural. Let's take high heels, for instance. Now, let me ask you, I'm leading to a point here. Take high heels. You know, high heels are not the natural use of feet. They look good, ladies. It looks to me like you're going to fall all the time. But I'm trying to let you, it's not a natural use of your feet. Your feet are to walk. But God doesn't condemn high heels. Now, let's come back to our subject. He's talking about here, a man and woman in a relationship, and for some reason, the evil came to the place that they began to change the relationship between a man and woman with a man and woman and a woman. And God says, that's unnatural. And he said, it's so unnatural. Hey, listen, wait a minute. This may be unnatural, but God doesn't condemn it, and he doesn't say it's wrong. But I'll tell you this, he does say one man and one woman is abomination. No, I'm saying one man and one man, and you know what I mean. Somebody say, you don't need, I got a woman, it's abomination too. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, one man and one man and one woman and one woman. God says that's abomination. He says in Leviticus, and he showing here what's happened. So what we're saying, God has said, listen, it's unnatural. The natural thing is God made male and female, Genesis 1, for the purpose of reproducing the earth. He called them male and female. And he gave them the conditions that were there could be procreation and create life. God let male and female come together and be the author of the creation of life. Every person that's ever born since Adam's day, there's never been another one just like it. That created individual person from a child to an adult, there's never been another just like it. They may have been some close to it, but never just like it, because that is a creation of that union in marriage. So that helps me understand when I begin to look at the fact that he gave them over to degrade in their passion. They exchange the natural function, the natural way among male and female. This is the natural sexual drive. Nowhere, again, do you see animals practicing that. Now, once you have begun to dishonor the sacredness that God calls this, dignity and purity of your body, the vile flood gates of natural physical sin comes in and begins to take over. And perversion is the evil and twisted expression of that which is God's given nature and natural. Homosexuality is addressed in verse 27 when he says this, and likewise that the men leaving the natural use of the woman. Now, does that not make sense? They left the natural. God said it's a natural thing, news of the woman, to pursue something that was unnatural. Why in the name of heaven can't people understand? This is not hard for God's people to understand. It's very obvious what he said. And yet you and I, and I'll get letters on this, Ustream. I'll get letters, I know, but this got to be preached in these days because God has not changed. We're in the age of grace. God is soon coming back. His son is. But ladies and gentlemen, this world needs to know that God is still the same. And I thank God for understanding what little bit my peanut mind can understand about what is going on at this particular time. Note the word burn, to burn out with lust. There's no natural control. There's no control over that. The control that may have in the natural realm where God put male and female, but now it's out of control with the unnatural realm. It's just a natural repulsion blazed out of control of the flesh. Such vile passion involves shameless acts. Here people do publicly without remorse that which formerly caused them to be distressed privately. And the capacity for shame is an index of society and is more sensitive. To not, it's an index of society to immoral sensitivity. To not have the capacity for shame is to burn with lust in society with an outrage where shame dies completely. And I've tried to write this all down so I know what I said, even though I get on some rabbit trails once in a while, so I can go back like anyone else and know this is what I said in case somebody says I said something else. So I'm sticking more to my notes tonight than ever, because it may come back to me in my face. So the passive shame is an index of society to moral sensitivity. You know what God said in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 27? He made this statement just as plain as could be. He said this, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. They are different, and they will always be different. And God says that. Now, Jesus added to his personal endorsement and deduction. Matthew 19, go read that. And you find that God instituted marriage as a heterosexual union. What God has joined together. And by the way, when Jesus brought this up about Moses' day and what went on when they asked the question what he would do in that situation, and Jesus put an attitude to what went on in that day, because he made this statement. He instructed marriage as a heterosexual union, and he said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now that tells me, why would God say something against something if he put it together? Well, they say, God made me this way. That's a cop-out. I'm sorry, but it is. God made a certain way for reproduction. There's no way in this world two men or two women can reproduce. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a thing of mind. It's not been hard. We ought to be able to say what the Bible says and know that anybody who's caught in the trap, we love them. I mean that. We love them, the bottom of our heart, and we want them to see the truth. We can't make them see the truth. We can only give them the truth. And to give the truth is not making us lambast those people, because we should love those people. By the way, Jesus does. He loves those people. And they throw it back in their face as some kind of a dialogue which has no meaning. So God instituted marriage as a heterosexual union. This puts heterosexual monogamy experienced as one flesh. Anything else cannot be regarded as a legitimate alternative to marriage. Now, the third thing quickly, not only God gave them up to dishonor the bodies, he gave them up to degrade in their passion, but he gave them over in verse 28 to 32 to deprave in their mind. That's what he says. Isn't that amazing? Why would God give them up to dishonor the bodies? Why would God give them up to degrade their passion? Have passion for something that's forbid rather than passion for something that God said would be okay. And then why would God give them over to a depraved in their mind? Today, our society views homosexuality as victims of nature instead of a personal choice of fallen man. So our society has become desensitized to behaviors that just a few short years ago would have been considered outrageous in my lifetime. Biblical love does not sanction the lifestyle they're trying to present. Yet God's love and grace does not turn its back on anyone who will come to him in repentance. I don't care who they are. I don't care who we are. Some people are just as worse sinners as anyone that's practicing these things. I don't care who the sinner is. God will not turn his back on them if they'll come with a repentant heart. Amen. And he's promised to save their soul if he do just that. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. God loves the sinner while despising the sin. Now watch this. But listen closely, since God has allowed them the right to choose a lifestyle contrary to his goodwill for their lives, they think that we should grant them the dignity that our Bill of Rights in America grants them, even while adamantly opposing their lifestyle or confusion and darkness. In Jude 5 through 11, I won't go read that, I don't have the time. It might be, the fact is, that due to our writings as far as the government of our country is concerned, due to our Bill of Rights we have that's setting forth not to discriminate, it's a possibility that maybe they deserve the rights of the Bill of Rights of America that as a confusion that brings confusion if they don't, because our country, though we know it's Christian, we see now the government's not dominated by Christians. But just because our government changed isn't the reason why we should say God changed. And what happened to this nation, the nation can go against God, can give all, and by the way, if the nation gives them that right, they deserve to have that right. But don't make it right. Now hear me. You don't got here saying all of a sudden he was preaching something, he changed his mind on it. No. I'm saying to you, our country is written in the best legal aspect that any country has ever had, as far as freedom. But on the other hand, when our country goes and makes laws against direct God's laws, and we got to do like the apostle said in the book of Acts, we got to obey God rather than man. That's right. Because that's the way it should be in this life. And so it seems that people tend to believe lies that reinforce their own self-personal belief. We need to be careful about the input that we allow in our lives, which forms our belief. The Bible is only a standard of truth that you and I have for evaluating all opinions in life. Now, God's plan for natural sexual relationship is one man, one woman within marriage. This is his idea for creation. This is his idea for reproduction. This is what he set up. And for man to come along and say, for some reason, because genetic, I've been born, and I have no desire as a man for a woman, or woman as a woman for a man, but I have a desire for my own sex, that is not something that God sanctions. I'm sorry, folks. It's just not. I'll go down dying, believing what I believe. And someone may say, well, that's a good way to get there faster, I reckon. Yet sins distort the natural use of God's good and powerful gifts. Sin hurts people. Sin hurts individuals and families and society as a whole. It is sad that people who worship the things that God made instead of God himself, then they distort and destroy the very things they claim to be valued. People choose to reject God. God allows them to do just that as they try to declare their independence from God. There is no worse slavery than slavery to sin through rebellion against God, through rebellious choices of people who rebel against God. So you take the society of our seed today, and you see God forbids the lifestyle in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 18, 22 is the Old Testament scriptures that he cries out against it. And Romans 1 goes even further by Paul than what we see God gave Moses in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. We believe God set the standards for people in our society. Hear me. It is God who sets the standards for people in society, not the fallen race. God has to do that. And when he sets them, they don't have to change. God's standards are natural. It's a natural thing to do. It's not unnatural. It's a natural thing to do, and God sanctions that in our lives. They believe that their desires are normal and that they have the right to express them. Maybe they may have in a country like ours, but not when it comes to us to say the Bible says you have a right, because when God calls some abomination, it is abomination. Nowhere does God obligate nor encourage us to fulfill all our desires, even the normal ones. There's nowhere God encourages us to fulfill all the desires, even if he has condemned them or not. On the other hand, it's certainly on to realize that those that are not normal are the ones we should not. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes people were to try to fulfill the desires that are not normal, and leave off the ones that are normal. And that's what happens in this case if you look at it biblically. So desires that violate God's law must be controlled. So why not come to Jesus Christ? For instead of a person arguing about it and trying to make us think like we're some rabble-rouser, some terrible insurrection type people, to see how much God loves them and see how much we love them. I guarantee you that any church would treat people better than the government will when it comes to love. But we will never sanction, because we don't believe God sanctions a lifestyle that God says is an abomination. It desires that violate. It certainly desires that violated God's law must be controlled. So we only come to Jesus Christ, allow Him to recreate us through a personal relationship with God. I did that September 27, 1959. You've done that a certain time yourself. And anyone else who faces things in this life wants to know who the true and living God is. We have a record. And God has not left us ignorant concerning these things. So I say to you, the God gave such people up and over to their rebellious mind. Why? And the thought is this. I believe and try anything in walking with God 54 years. I believe without any doubt whatsoever that God tries and deals and works and does His best to try to get people to see truth. And when a heart comes so rebellious, He simply says, I will not believe what has been said about God, because that's not my God. Once a person says, I'll not take what God says, they're saying, that's not my God. At least say amen to that. So what is this? God said, all right. You heard me preach that message? Beware what you pray for, you might get it. And God says, all right, I'm going to turn you over to it and see how you go. And you and I know there's a lot of things in life that's a product of sin that people face right now, and disease and otherwise, and they won't give it that because they think we're condemning. But God says, all right, that's yours, but you will pay the consequence. If you practice that which I declared to be wrong, you will pay the consequence. Someone says, well, then, what about if a person says they're saved and practice it? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. How in the name of heaven can anyone claim they're saved according to the Scriptures and then deny the Scriptures on the very thing that God cries out about abomination? If that's not abomination, I don't know what is. As a matter of fact, I've got news for you. If that's not abomination, we all got no trouble about anything. There's one thing God talks about that's just sin, and all have sinned come short of the glory of God. But when God goes and looks at sin and evaluates abomination, it is a terrible thing. Why? Because it destroys the image of God. It destroys the plan of God and God's plan and purpose. So today, as we come together, thank God, God gave such power, such of these people up and over to their own desires. And we want to understand that we have to understand. You say, preacher, why? Because I need to understand this, folks, so that I will know what I should not do. Not so much to condemn someone. I'm not their God. They're not going to have to stand before me, neither you. But we can't change what God shows us just because they won't believe it. Stand to your feet, please. My Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the Word of God. We have to preach it all or not preach it at all. And Lord, it's so easy to preach on the cross, but these people who deny what we say tonight make a mockery of the cross. Dear Father, I realize in society today it's moving faster about anything we know of that's anti-God, that is the true and living God. But Father, you encourage us to take our stand for your glory while we're here. We've been brought into time, been raised and brought to the point to be the light, the voice, the salt, whatever those things that God says we are because of the Word of God in our lives. To show this world as near as we can in a loving way who our Lord and Savior is and how much He loves them. But it's got to the place now that things are so bad that there's people think no one can do anything worthy enough to go to hell. And therefore, nobody needs to be saved. You've got a voice, though, God, and we thank you for that. And we pray you'd help us be that voice until you call us home in a loving way. Never let us be arrogant about it. never let us be hateful about it. The worst thing in the world is to have a hateful heart, showing how much the love of God is. Well, that's just out of, it's not even comprehensive just about to think, because God is not that way. God's perfect love, and though he's a God of wrath, when he brings wrath upon people, it'll be a perfect wrath. We are not to the point that we're that way. Lord, we have to just say the words and then trust you for the outcome. Give our folks a good week this week as we ask this in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen.